All right, it's time to talk to a good buddy of ours, David Smail, who is an author here in town, and he's got a new book out entitled The Keys to the Kingdom about the Kansas City Chiefs. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good, Nate. How are you doing?
Doing well. Tell us about this book, Keys to the Kingdom, and just give us the details, maybe a little cliff notes on the book itself and where people can get it.
Well, it actually came out last year, but because it's about the entire first 60 years, not just about the 2019 season, we call it evergreen. It's never going to go out of style, never turn brown. And so we're cranking up marketing again with the start of the season, and it's available at all the better bookstores. I like to say if they don't carry my book, they're not one of the better bookstores. But it's available, on Amazon. It's available, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores around town. And it's also available at my website, which is davidsmailbooks.com.
So you've obviously done a lot of exhaustive research going all the way back to the very first draft that the Chiefs had, the 1963 draft, where they took a couple of Hall of Famers and Super Bowl starters that built that team all the way through it. Look, you've lived a lot of this, David, but I'm curious, when you go back and research something like this, were there some stories or anecdotes that surprised you, that maybe that you learned about while researching it that you didn't know before?
You know, it's interesting, Nate. I remember the Chiefs coming to Kansas City in 1963. I was 5 years old. My dad was excited that we had pro football, so I was excited. My young life revolved all around sports. I had five uncles who lived close by who were involved in sports. I could count to 720 when I started kindergarten because that's how many cards were in a baseball card set, and I needed to be able to put them in order. So sports were always really important to me, and I just remember the early days of the Chiefs. My first favorite Chief was Chris Burford, who was one of their very first draft picks in 1960. And so I had an 88 Chiefs jersey before Tony Gonzalez was born. I would say, I didn't learn a lot of new stuff, but there were some memories that were certainly enhanced. And one of those is how integral Lamar Hunt was in integrating pro football. Because back in the late 50s and early 60s, the NFL really didn't go after the HBCUs at all. And you had to be, a Jim Brown caliber player to get into the NFL. And Lamar and the other AFL owners, but Lamar was probably the best at this, really mined the smaller colleges and the historically black colleges and universities for talent. You think about some of those early Chiefs, if Lamar hadn't decided to do that, we wouldn't have Otis Taylor, we wouldn't have Willie Lanier, we wouldn't have Jim Marcellus. There's a long list of guys that went to the, to the black colleges. And Lamar, a Southern man, had great courage to be able to do that. And he supported the integration of pro football. And so I knew that, but that memory was enhanced as I did the research.
What about this most recent iteration of the Chiefs and the way they finally got back? Because honestly, I find the Chiefs' history to be a fascinating one as one of the real pioneers of what we know as the modern day NFL. That this team, as you just mentioned, that was a transformative organization, part of the AFL, maybe the organization more than any that proved that the AFL was on equal footing to the NFL. All those things, the guy that named the Super Bowl here. And then after that early start, decades of mediocrity, decades of futility, decades of frustration. So you have this like incredibly rich history, but then nothing to back it up for a long time until now. And all of a sudden, yeah, it's like back to being the type of organization that it was in those early days. What was it like in terms of looking at that kind of unique arc of the history of the franchise?
Yeah, when you said decades of mediocrity, I thought, boy, he's being real generous because they were bad. There was 18 years when they didn't sniff the playoffs except for one wild card berth where they got blitzed by the Jets in their only game. But they were really bad. And it's interesting, you can't tell the whole story of the Chiefs without talking about how far they came. As you know, Nate, I'm a big K-State fan, and Bill Snyder is is a good friend, and what he did at K-State, he didn't take him from ground zero. He took him from below ground zero. And I think Carl and Marty brought the Chiefs from below ground zero, and then things fell off again, at, you know, in the time between Carl Peterson and when they brought in Andy Reid. So the rebuild is even more impressive when you figure out how far they came. And there's a lot of people who think the Chiefs began as an NFL franchise in 2012 or 2013, or maybe in April of 2017 when they drafted this kid out of Texas Tech. But there is a rich history, even in the really bad years. We had some phenomenal players, you know, the Art Stills and the Bill Mosses and the Gary Barbaros and you know, Albert Lewis. And I could go on and
Carlos
on.
Carlos Carson.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the Stephon Page held the NFL record for most yards in a game. And the guy who broke it in overtime with like 10 more catches than Stephon Page had when he had his 300 and whatever, 15 yards against the Chargers. So he did that in like 12 or 15 catches, something like that. It was phenomenal. So we do really the gist of this book. We don't tell the entire history. There's, you know, it would have to be volumes to do that. We deal with there's a series of short stories on the people and the events that shape the history, both good and bad, though we focus mostly on the good.
One of the legendary players that played during that Marty Schottenheimer era, who is about to become a Chiefs Hall of Famer, is our good buddy Tim Grunhard. And I understand you might be working on something with him as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm officially allowed to announce that, but yes, I can confirm the rumor.
Okay, all right. We'll stand by on that then, because that excites me greatly, because obviously Timmy is not only a legendary figure, he's a good friend of ours. I mean, he's just a great Kansas City ambassador, and I'm wondering, we were talking about this. There's something special about this town in terms of how many of the legendary sports figures that came to Kansas City from somewhere else that decided this is home. And we have a lot of them on our, I mean, Mike Boddicker comes in here every week. He's one of those guys that didn't even really spend as much of his big league career here as he did in other places and said, now this is where I want to raise my family. Mike McFarlane, those guys. And Tim Grunhard's one of those guys. And Patrick Mahomes seems to be one of those people as well in the fact that he's investing, like he is a part owner of the other two major sports franchises in this town. Does it surprise you how quickly Patrick Mahomes seems to have just completely invested himself in Kansas City?
I don't know if it surprises me. I'm certainly impressed. I actually know his dad. My uncles, who are Major League Baseball agents, represented Pat Mahomes Sr. when he was a ball player, so I know him. And, you know, everything I've ever heard about Patrick has been that he has a level head on his shoulders. You know, you've been in the locker room post-game, and, you know, Patrick doesn't talk to the press in the locker room. He's getting ready to go into the media room, but he'll still chat with you. You know, hey, how's it going? You know, as you're walking by. And he's just a very level-headed, very calm. He's just a guy. You know, and I think that's what's most impressive about him is he recognizes to really be entrenched, he needs to invest his time and his bountiful resources. And I think it's great. I think that means he's going to be like so many others. I interviewed Jeff Montgomery for my podcast earlier this week. He grew up just outside of Cincinnati and was drafted and made his debut with the Reds. And then he got traded to the Royals, and he stayed here ever since. And it's just I think it says something about Kansas City that so many people, like you say, so many people who played here who aren't from here, George Brett, another one, stayed here. I think that says a lot about our community and people in it.
Well, it certainly is something that we can all take pride in as Kansas Cityans. David, again, I want you to plug your book here, The Keys to the Kingdom. Again, tell people where they can get it and why they should get it.
Well, if you're a Chiefs fan at all, it's a good way to immerse yourself. A friend of mine said his wife was going to do a presentation on the Chiefs for some work thing, and I don't remember all the details of it, but she didn't know anything about the Chiefs. She didn't know anything about football. And he bought a book a week before she did her presentation, And I saw him a few weeks later, and he said she knocked it out of the park because she had all these details that the people in the room were just blown away with how much she knew. I'm not bragging about all the details, but it does cover an awful lot of details. The book's available at all, at practically every area bookstore. I would prefer people get it from my website, which is davidsmailbooks.com, because I make more money doing it that way. And I'm also, one of the reasons we're talking to you today is I'm going to be in St. Joe after practice today. I'm driving up as soon as I get off the phone with you. And I'm going to be at the Pony Express Sports and More, which is in the East Hill Shopping Center, from noon to 3 doing a book signing. And then in the evening, from 6 to 7:30, I'll be at the Hi-Ho Sports Bar for a presentation and a book signing there. So if you're in St. Joe, Pony Express Sports and More from noon to 3, or the Hi-Ho Sports Bar from 6 to 7:30.
The Hi-Ho is a place that Stephen St. John frequents, so you better be careful, David. You better watch out. You never know what kind of tomfoolery can happen when Stephen St. John comes strutting on in to a place like the Hi-Ho. So Pony Express, noon to 3, Hi-Ho from 6 to 7:30. You can see David Smale. You can get the book, maybe get an autograph, and then get your research on the keys to the kingdom with the Kansas City Chiefs. David, thank you very much for the time, man. Have a great time up in St. Joe today.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, that is David Smale, and again, the book is The Keys to the Kingdom. If you're up in St. Joe, you can go to the Pony Express today from noon to 3.
Where was the...
East Hills?
Is that the East Hills?
You know what? You can do some back-to-school shopping while you're there. Yeah.
Back-to-school, denim, haircut, backpacks, backpacks, come get your backpack.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
New shoes.
Get yourself an outfit.
Denim.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
Haircut.
Get yourself
shoes.
A book at the Pony
so
Express.
Get yourself back to school with these
There you go. You can't
boots
say
and
Hills.
Pants and boots and pants.
You can't say East Hills and I not play that.
Dude, I was thinking that when he said East Hills. I was like, that's the place where you do your back school shopping, right?
That's right, it is.
Get your haircut, get your boots and pants.
Go check out the Pony Express and see David Smell.
Get some books.
Yeah.
In boots and pants.
Right. From noon to 3 p.m.
There you go. Back after this on Sports Radio 8 UHB.